Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Jeff Kubacki to the broadcast. Jeff is the Chief Information Officer for Kroll, the Risk Consulting and Technology Division of Marsh & McLennan. Kroll provides a broad range of investigative, intelligence, financial, security, and technology services to help clients reduce risks, solve problems, and capitalize on opportunities. Headquartered in New York, Kroll serves a global clientele of law firms, financial institutions, corporations, nonprofit institutions, government agencies, and individuals. In his role as CIO, Jeff oversees the firm's global information technology systems and services and drives strategies to realize operational efficiencies. Additionally, Jeff collaborates with business leaders to develop and execute long-range global IT plans. Jeff joined Kroll in March 2007 from Ecolab, where he served as Vice President of IT Business Operations and Vice President of Global Operations. Prior to Ecolab, Jeff was Vice President of IT at Catalina Marketing, Director of IT at Dell Computer, Vice President and CIO at Essilor of America, and Senior IT Manager at Bausch & Lomb. Jeff received a bachelor's degree in computer science from Rochester Institute of Technology and holds an MBA from the University of South Florida. He also attended the West Point Military Academy. I recently caught up with Jeff at Kroll's headquarters in New York, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as we discussed Kroll IT's core competence in career planning. Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed the approach Jeff has taken in aligning Kroll IT's activities with those of Kroll's business units. Principle 5, External Partnerships, as we spoke about how Jeff shares his strategic plans with vendors so that their proposed solutions best address his department's needs, as well as some other topics. Well, Jeff Kubacki, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Excellent. Well, Jeff, you are the CIO at Kroll, and I wonder if you could start by talking a little bit about that business and IT's contribution to it.
Certainly. Kroll is one of five main operating companies of Marsh McLennan, MMC, headquartered here in New York City. The five operating companies are Marsh, Mercer, Guy Carpenter, Oliver Wyman, and Kroll. And Kroll was acquired a few years ago as at the time was the, and still are obviously, the leading provider of risk management and risk advice to corporations around the world. And it's a very interesting set of businesses, actually, from very technology-driven businesses like Kroll OnTrack, which does data recovery off of failed hard drives and a lot of electronic discovery types of cases that we work on, to the other end of the spectrum, which are consulting services and background checks and substance abuse drug screens, things of that nature. So IT plays a big role in all of those businesses, clearly from the Kroll OnTrack, again, which is extremely technology-driven, relies heavily on technology. We have three main data centers that support that business, with thousands of servers and tons of storage. So it's a very, very technology-driven business.
Great. Can you talk a little bit about some of the priorities that you have as the IT leader and the IT hat as for the foreseeable future?
Certainly. I think what's interesting about Kroll, and it's not unlike some other firms that I've worked at, that we grew through acquisition without a lot of post-acquisition integration strategies and not a lot of IT governance. And so you end up having many different versions of the same thing. So as an example, we have multiple financial systems and multiple CRM systems, multiple platforms from a server and PC and all that type of perspective. And so we've spent the last couple of years with one of our main objectives, which was around globalizing and simplifying our IT infrastructure, and did things like most firms would do in terms of cleaning up our Active Directory, system. We did an exchange upgrade, consolidation and upgrade project to get everyone standardized on Exchange 2007. We did an Office 2007 deployment. We put in Alteryx to help manage our desktops, just finished an MPLS network upgrade, put in SharePoint, which is now being used by all of our businesses. So a lot of the foundational items that we needed to fix, we've done over the last couple of years. And so now we're moving on to more value-added things for the business, because it's all around delivering value at the end of the day. So we're just at the tail end of deploying Microsoft Office Communicator as an example, which provides instant messaging, voice calls, and video calls at the desktop, and certainly has helped a lot with collaboration with everyone around the world from a business and IT perspective. As we've tried to cut back on travel, we wanted to obviously continue to be able to provide a lot of face-to-face collaboration, and so the Microsoft Office Communicator practice allowed us to do that.
Yes.
We know we continue to want to improve our capabilities around disaster recovery for all of our business units. Some of that's a little bit easier to solve, some a little bit more complex. When you look at a business that has 12 petabytes of storage, you say, well, how exactly am I going to provide DR for that type of business?
And yes.
So we've spent a lot of time figuring out that riddle, ended up building a new data center to support that. So that's been probably our biggest investment in 2009. Moving into 2010, as we finish our budgets, the thing at the top of the list, one that I had to push out from this year, is really around an enterprise customer data warehouse. I won't be able to, at least in right away, be able to standardize this all on one financial system and one CRM system. So I am going to have to pull some data in from disparate systems.
Yes.
So that we can have the executives across Kroll and actually at MMC as well have better visibility to what we're doing across all of our businesses, for a particular customer.
Mm-hmm. So. You were talking earlier about the way in which you engage the different parts of Kroll, and I wonder how technologically savvy are people within the business executives within Kroll? As you list off some of the things you've done, some of the things you have ahead, some of them very technically oriented, to what degree or how do you engage, in fact, the business to make sure that they have a clear understanding of the need for disaster recovery, for instance, or other very technically oriented objectives that you have?
I think that the exciting thing about our business is that we aren't manufacturing anything, right?
Right.
So it's
right.
Our business is data and information and technology, and so the executives of the firm are actually very, very solid from a technical perspective. That doesn't mean you don't have to always be selling your ideas and selling your budget and selling the next project,
right.
But you obviously still have to go through the normal business case and to as we prioritize all the investments we want to make. But it is a little bit easier conversation when the CEO, who I report to, came up through the ranks of the OnTrack business, understands how a disk drive works and the heads and, what happens when it crashes and what do you have to do to fix it.
Right.
So that puts me in a nice position compared to some firms that I've worked at in the past.
Yeah.
So it is a very technology driven executive team. And but again, as any place, you have to sell your case. And because we always have more investments that we want to make than we have time and money and resources to fund. So
that makes good sense.
Yeah.
I was interested, Jeff, in past conversations that we've had, that you've listed among the core competencies of Kroll IT to be career planning. And I wonder how that's come about and the ways in which you've undertaken career planning to, in fact, become a core competence.
So when I started as the CIO for Kroll about 2.5 years ago, I came in and took a look at everyone's objectives and the projects that we were working on and our processes and things. And one of the things that was very obvious is that there wasn't any time, actually, or very little time being spent on talent management, talent development, mm-hmm. developing the future leaders of the organization. And that's something that in every company I've worked in before coming to Kroll was something very, very important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just part of my DNA that having individual development plans and having a process for succession planning, et cetera, is just something that I feel is a core competency or should be a core competency of every IT manager. And so we created an individual development planning process, very easy template form that everyone uses, did a lot of training with the IT managers so that they understood, you know, what makes up a good development plan, what are the process that you should go through to engage your direct reports and your team members to be able to put together a good plan. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of all staff meetings where I talked about the role of every associate, whether you were a manager or not, what's your role in that talent management, talent development process, and what I was expecting, you know, as a result. And so to ensure that we're making good progress on it, we put it into everyone's MBOs, their objectives, which are also used to help drive our quarterly incentive program. So this is a part of not only their personal performance evaluation, but also their bonus plan. We established two metrics that we have on our IT balance scorecard that I report on a monthly basis through our IT monthly update that talks about, or the two metrics being what percentage of our associates in fact have an IDP, and then what percentage of the action items in those IDPs did we actually accomplish that particular quarter. So, you know, things happen. You know, so let's say we identified 50 activities that we wanted to do from a development perspective that quarter. Could have been training or leading a project or reading a book or getting a mentor, whatever the development activity was. Did we actually do all 50 of those, or did we only do 40 or whatever? And so yes, it's really just a way of tracking the progress that we're making, as well as keeping it top of mind for everyone, since there are two of the important metrics on our balanced scorecard.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Returning back to your relationship with the business, I know that, as you mentioned, you have the advantages of being an IT leader in an information-based business, a very data-driven business. As you point out, some of the leaders grew up in this environment and have a great appreciation for what IT can do. I know, though, that under your tenure, you've also improved the communication and the flow of information between IT and the business. You've improved the alignment of IT and the business. And I wonder if you can share some of the ways in which you've gone about doing that.
So one of the things that we did probably about a year and a half ago is established an IT business operations office, which is really everything that you would think of if you were trying to run IT like it was your own business. So it includes things like IT finance and IT procurement and a reporting and communications function, strategic planning, some acquisition due diligence, are the types of things. Our PMO, our process development is all within that business office. So one of the key things of that, of the business office, though, was setting up that reporting and communications role.
Yes.
And again, to help us do internal marketing of the value that we in fact are delivering to the business, I needed a function that could help me drive that. Mm-hmm. So we brought somebody on board whose full-time job is to be the manager of this reporting and communications function. She's a very hands-on person and actually ends up developing a lot of the content, mm-hmm. Besides helping to supervise another individual who helps prepare content. But we do produce an IT monthly update that goes out probably around the 15th business day or so of every month. It's probably at this point a 10-page report that includes things like a CIO corner, where I write about things that I think people would be interested in hearing about. The second page includes a summary of our IT finances. How are we doing year to date against budget and prior year by business line for both expense, capital, and headcount, depreciation, et cetera. So it's given the business more transparency into how we're spending our money and whether or not we're on track with what we said we were going to spend.
Yes.
And then I get into business unit updates, what's going on in our on-track business or background checking, consulting services, substance abuse testing, what's happening at the corporate level, et cetera, in terms of key projects that I think people would be interested in reading about. Mm-hmm. And then a couple pages on our key enterprise strategic projects. At the time, it was how were we doing on our Office 2007 deployment or the network upgrades or the Office Communicator deployment, those types of things that crossed all of the business units. And then lastly, the last few pages now contain a summary of our IT balanced scorecard and then drill down on a couple of the key metrics from that balanced scorecard, because there's 13 key metrics on the report. I only highlight 3 or 4 of those in the monthly report that I, again, feel that people would be interested in knowing about. Mm-hmm. So that gets distributed to everyone, obviously, in IT around the world, but also to the senior leadership team of all the business units, the executive team, et cetera. And generally, when we send that out, we get feedback almost every month from folks saying that they enjoy the report and it's providing good quality content for them, and it's nice to stay in touch with what's happening from an IT perspective. So that's one example. We wanted to improve our storefront, so to speak, so we built a new IT SharePoint site that doesn't even look like SharePoint. When you look at it, it looks like just a web, just like any normal web application, but mm-hmm. that's the single point of entry into IT. If you're looking for I want to put in a service desk ticket, how do I order a phone, I need a new BlackBerry, those types of things, all of that is on our storefront on the IT SharePoint site. And again, that was built by the reporting and communications team and some others who helped out with that. So, there's a common look and feel. The messages are the same, those types of things. I'm looking for consistency across all of our messages and that whole look and feel. And then we do a couple other things. There's a biweekly Kroll Executive Committee meeting that I sit on that I produce a report for that. We do weekly reports for our on-track senior management, biweekly reports for our executive leadership team and background screening. So I think we do a fair amount of reporting and communicating on what we're doing, what we're spending, and how we're measuring our performance.
That's great. As I listen to several things you've undertaken in terms of getting better alignment with the business, which of course requires understanding of business needs, we're speaking about the measures and the metrics that you put in place, having better financial acumen within IT, these are a lot of issues that I know IT leaders from a wide range of companies struggle with. How much of a cultural change was that to become more measures-driven, metrics-driven, to become more quantitative, to become more answerable to the business?
It wasn't easy, and I think one of the first things I had to do was when I looked at establishing the new vision for IT and setting up our 4 or 5 key objectives that I wanted to deliver against over a couple of years' time. When you looked at all of that, then you had to obviously assess the leadership team mm-hmm. that I had and say, okay, do I have all the right folks on the bus, so to speak? And so I did have to make some changes mm-hmm. In terms of the leadership in some of the IT leaders for some of the businesses. Actually, at this point, it's a brand new team, actually. So it's maybe I made more than just a couple of changes. But, I made sure that when we were hiring people for these key leadership roles for each of the businesses, there were 3 key things that I was looking for, and they're really not negotiable, so to speak, and they're really in this order. One, I wanted someone that had great business acumen. So that was the very first thing that I look for in my candidate. Second, do they have great leadership skills? So not only from a business acumen perspective, I need somebody who can dig in and become a member of the leadership team of the business and help drive business strategy, but then it's how do I then translate those business needs back to IT and make sure that IT has a good vision and set of objectives in place so that we have that the right alignment, right, obviously, between the business and IT goals. Mm-hmm. And so it's understanding the business, good leadership skills so they can get up in front of a group of people and motivate them and get them marching in the direction that we need them going to meet those business goals. And then thirdly, obviously, we're in IT, so we need a couple of technical skills. And, I'm not looking for people to build servers or write code anymore, but they've probably done that sometime in their past. They can challenge the team as we're making technology decisions, should we buy that virtualization software or that one? And let's talk about the pros and cons. And so you have to have some good technical skills in order to be successful on this team. So you add all that up. And when you look at business acumen, again, leadership and technical skills, you end up with a mindset of, hey, metrics are important, aligning my goals with the business are important, communicating what we're doing to the business is important.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, so far so good.
That's great. Very interesting. Switching gears a little bit, Jeff, I have been interested to learn about the way in which you've engaged external partners. I know this is another area that is considered a core competence within the organization. And I know from past conversations you've described how you bring large groups of vendors in, you share a lot about your kind of the objectives going forward so that they're as well informed as they can be in order to provide their own proposals and what they can do in order to help Kroll. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about that process and why it makes you proud.
So, yeah, thanks. Good question. I think it started 2 years ago. You know, as you get calls from the major vendors, so Cisco, Microsoft, EMC, mm-hmm. HP, Dell, you name it, everyone wanted to sit down with me and understand what our goals were for the year and how could they help us meet those goals. And so I could do that 13 times, which would take a lot of time. Or I said, hey, you know what, I'm only going to do that once. And so I'm going to get all of the vendors together in the same room at the same time, and I'm going to do it in January in St. Paul, Minnesota, where it's really, really cold out, and I know how committed they are to my business because they're coming in from all over the country.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to put them in the St. Paul Hotel for 5 hours, and I'm going to talk to them about what our objectives are for Kroll. Mm-hmm. And so we started that 2 years ago as just kind of let's try it and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at one round table, I had HP and Dell sitting right next to each other, and I was kind of anxious to see how that was going to work out, and actually it worked out very, very well. And so the feedback from all of the vendors at the end of the day was extremely positive. They appreciated knowing what was going on from an IT perspective within Kroll. They understood our footprint a little bit better and
yeah.
our standards and our objectives and things. And so this past January, we had our second event, and I decided to call it the Kroll IT Partner Day instead of the Vendor Day, because my goal was to start transforming all of these relationships from being vendor relationships to truly partner relationships.
Yes.
And this year, we went through a very similar process, but we formalized it a lot more this year. And so I went through the Kroll business goals, our IT objectives, similar to what I did the prior year. But then I did that, though, in an account plan kind of format. So every vendor, every partner had a takeaway and a spreadsheet that they were able to take with them that listed it, at least at a high level, what are some of the critical Kroll business objectives
yes.
that I didn't mind sharing publicly.
Mm-hmm.
What are my IT objectives that support those business objectives? And then their job was to then go back and figure out, well, what were their internal capabilities that could help meet those objectives and come back with some ideas on how that particular partner or vendor would help us meet those objectives. To help streamline then the communication process back into Kroll IT, myself and my direct reports have all been assigned one or more accounts, and so we are the Kroll IT account executive responsible for managing that the relationship with that particular account.
I see.
And you have to meet with them at least on a quarterly basis. Oftentimes we meet with them on a monthly basis, but we go through those account plans, you know, every time we get together, and we understand here are the objectives. Have any of them changed? You know, and what specific projects are we working on with that partner to help me achieve those objectives? We added one extra thing into it this year too, and we said, well, and here are 5 conditions of satisfaction. Okay, so you know, everyone wants to survey us to find out whether or not we're satisfied or not. We were going to make it a little bit easier and say, here are the 5 things you need to do for me, for Kroll, to make us a satisfied customer. Okay, and you know, simple things like don't sell me more stuff until you get the stuff you've already sold me implemented, you know? So nothing frustrates me more than to buy something, I don't even have it implemented yet, and they're already trying to sell me the next generation of it,
exactly.
You know? And so
exactly.
Don't do that.
Right.
And so that's helped out a lot. And actually, one of the objectives and one of the conditions of satisfaction is I was very interested and focusing on balance of trade. Okay, so we do a lot of business with these vendors, and we have products and services within Kroll that I know those companies could benefit from. Okay, and so help me open up some doors back in your organization, you know, person from Dell or HP, Microsoft, et cetera, so that we can go in and talk about the Kroll value proposition. Okay, so here's what we can do for you around background checking or vendor screening or electronic discovery, data recovery, those types of things. And that's actually been, actually worked out very, very well this year. There's a handful of our partners where we are now selling our products and services to them, and which has helped out a lot in terms of the balance of trade. And the vendors, the partners have been actually very receptive to that, and some of them have actually assigned an executive in their corporate headquarters who I meet with on a regular basis and say, okay, here are the opportunities we're looking at or that we're working with your team on. I just want to bring those to your attention.
Yes.
Here's the things that Kroll is doing with your firm, you know, in terms of new products that we may be evaluating, just to keep them current on what's happening on both sides of the table. And so we'll do it again next January, and I'm sure we'll tweak it a little bit more. Feedback we got after last year was, you know, you ought to package this up and sell it as a consulting service. We wish all of our customers would do this. I'm not really sure why they don't, but and I don't know either. I mean, my success and the success of Kroll and the IT group is we're heavily dependent on our partners to be able to deliver against our objectives.
Yeah.
And so wouldn't it be cool if they knew what my objectives were? So I share.
Exactly. Well, it makes an awful lot of sense. Well, Jeff Kubacki, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. It's really been great.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, Peter.
Just listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. This forum has been created so that we might have a series of discussions with a variety of IT leaders to understand, evaluate, and define world-class performance as it relates to Meta Strategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. If, however, systems and hardware work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development to quality assurance through to support and all of the other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Chris Davis, our web editor is Christian Dooley, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.